Hi, this is Farhad Manju. I'm Slate's technology columnist, and I'm here with...
Harry McCracken. I am the editor of Technologizer, and I also write for Time.com.
And we're here to talk about Google+, Google's new social networking service that Google says is not meant to be a competitor to Facebook, but I think everyone else thinks it is.
It certainly looks an awful lot like Facebook for something that's not supposed to compete with Facebook, and certainly has borrowed any number of ideas as well as adding some new ones.
Right, yeah. and I think that I bet you the people at Facebook think it's meant to be a competitor to Facebook. So it's been out now for, what, a week? A little more than a week?
I think it's sort of edging in on 3 weeks at this point.
Wait, oh really?
I think so, yeah. It's still new, but it's been around a little bit. It has even evolved a little bit since it launched. At first, essentially, the only thing I ever saw anybody do on Google Plus was talk about Google Plus and about how much they loved it. And you're starting to see people actually use it as it's intended for discussion of general types. And you're starting to see some people who don't seem to be quite as tech savvy coming in as well.
Yeah, I felt that way in the first day. In the first day or two, I felt like it was just sort of all conversations about Google+, which, you know, is to be expected. Everyone was in this new place. Google seemed to be opening it up to new members pretty quickly. And so about a week later, it started to shift, I think. But I feel like I took a break from it for about a week of that time because, you know, my initial impressions weren't I didn't really like it immediately. I still don't like it very much. I like it more than I did at the start because there's more people there and there's more going on. But I took a break because I was just kind of bored with it. And I think that in the last couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days, it seems to be better. Maybe we should start by sort of talking about our general impressions of it. And I think you're more positive than me, so maybe...
I think so, yeah. And you seem to be a lot more skeptical than the average person who's written about this, because unlike every past Google attempt at social networking, such as Wave and Buzz, both of which kind of got shellacked very quickly, that this one has generally gotten a fair amount of enthusiasm. Right. People think it actually is okay for the most part and has a shot at doing well. I'm guardedly positive, and the guardedly part is just because I feel a little bit like one of the reasons that Google Plus is nice now is because it's so simple and does not have a lot of features, and there aren't hundreds of millions of people in there poking each other and wishing each other happy birthday and pushing out Farmville messages to each other, and there's no spam, and there aren't 8 million features, and that's all very attractive. But my sense is that Google is going to want hundreds of millions of people to join, and it's going to enable things like games that can push out messages, and you will see people poking each other and wishing each other happy birthday. And I feel like maybe on some level, Google Plus as it stands is a little bit like what Facebook was when it started and was simply a community for Harvard students. So far, Google Plus has sort of been a community for people who like tech and social networking. And that can't last. If it stays like that, then it's a flop.
I feel like your view of it is one that I've heard or read about often online. It's the defense that it's the best thing about Google Plus is it's like an opportunity to start over. Because social networking, especially on Facebook, seems really messy. You have all these friends that you probably don't even know most of them personally. You know, a lot of people do, and that your connections with them are somewhat fuzzy. People haven't sort of really maintained those social networks as well as they would have liked. And this is an opportunity to kind of start over, where it's clean, where everyone's new, where everyone sort of knows the pitfalls of you know, what can go wrong if you accept too many friends or accept the wrong kinds of friends or share in the wrong way. And this offers an opportunity to start new. I guess that's something great about it, but that's not sort of a defense of Google+. It's just a defense of some... It's just sort of a praise for some new social networking system at all, which maybe we need something like that, but I doubt that's going to be sort of a motivating factor for people for, you know, the hordes on Facebook.
Right, and that is the big question. I mean, if all of your friends and all of your family are already on Facebook, anything else has to be pretty spectacular, or it has to be strikingly different from Facebook, or you're not going to do it. And as far as I can tell, Google's theory, at least before it launched this thing, was you would like Google Plus because of this feature called Circles, which lets you organize all your friends and then share selectively. So you can put all of your college buddies in one circle and your family in another and the folks you know at work in another. And if you want to share something that you think either might offend or might bore the people you work with, you can easily cut them out of the loop and not share with them. And so far, everything I've shared on Google Plus, I've shared with everybody. And I think that's partially because I've been conditioned by Twitter and Facebook to not to share things unless I think that it's okay to share them with everybody. And I will be curious to see whether it actually is a killer feature or not, because I have the feeling that already people have learned to share publicly rather than privately for the most part.
Yeah, I think that Circles is not going to be the reason people move to Google Plus if they move to Google Plus. So I think Circles is a good idea in theory, and the story behind it is actually really interesting. I think, you know, it was sort of based around a lot of research that a guy named Paul Adams did, and he was a user interface designer at Google last year, and he and a team did a lot of research, research about how people organize their friends into networks, and they came up with this, what I think to most people is this really obvious point, which is that, you know, we all have different groups, different social networks. We have, you know, people we associate with at work, at school, and we don't really have this kind of one giant social network that Facebook kind of imagines or forces us a little bit to create. And so I think that's a good theory, but I think that it's difficult to reflect that online in a way that's very clean and easy to use. So in fact, Facebook has had these features for a while. They call them lists that allows you to put your friends in different groups. According to what Facebook says, almost nobody uses that feature.
Mark Zuckerberg says 5% of people use
right.
it.
Yeah, I use it just because I know about it, but it's still kind of a pain to maintain. But right, only 5% do. And so the better Google Plus implements that in a better way. So it has, you know, a good graphical user interface. It allows you to drag people into circles, and it also sort of makes circles really prominent when you share things, so it sort of is very obvious who you're sharing things with. But I feel there are several problems with this. First, I don't think that people really think about their friends in that very strict category kind of way. And it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of like computer work, dragging and dropping to organize your friends, but it takes even more kind of mental work to think about, like, is this guy a college friend or is he an acquaintance now? And like, mm-hmm. at some point, maybe he'll pass from acquaintance to, you know, stranger. And, you know, over time, you need to maintain those relationships. And I think it's more work than people want to do. And I suspect that's why a lot of people are sharing publicly, because, you know, I've made a lot of circles, but most of the people in my circles are like in one circle, which is like people I know through work. Right. I could make more, you know, discrete circles, more kind of specific circles, but that's not really how I think about social networking. I kind of want to share with everyone, as you said.
And we should say that circles are kind of mandatory, because as you drag people into Google Plus, you have to put them in at least one circle, and you can put them in one more circle if you'd like to. So you can put somebody in as both, you know, a college buddy and a coworker, if that's true in both cases. I think the interface is fun. I think one of the things that does set Google Plus apart from Facebook is Mark Zuckerberg likes to say that Facebook is a utility, and it has sort of the feel of a utility. I think they're trying to be as straightforward as they possibly can, and it's kind of dry. and Google Plus is trying to have fun, and I think to some extent it works. It's kind of entertaining and has a friendly feel, which is not unusual just for a Facebook competitor. It's kind of unusual for Google, because Google's mantra is always simplicity and taking stuff out, and there's a little bit of animation and fun in Google Plus, which is new.
The other problem that I have with Circles is that when you kind of think about how it works, I think it presents kind of problems to the way it presents some hurdles for a social network growing very quickly if people actually use the Circles. Because one thing that if people are sharing only with a select few, and Google Plus has kind of features that prevent sharing more widely, if you want your status update to go just to your coworkers, there aren't very kind of easy ways to pass it around more widely. But kind of that kind of viral sharing is the reason that social networks, you know, are exciting and get bigger and thrive. And I think that that presents a hurdle to stuff becoming viral on, mm-hmm. on Google Plus. And the other thing is that one of the best things about Twitter, and it also happens on Facebook to some extent, is you discover new people based on who your friends know. So, like, if I post something on Facebook, if I post something on Facebook and my friend comments on it, then depending on their privacy settings, it's possible that their friends will see their comment on my post, and they, you know, those friends will discover who I am. I'll discover who those people are. That, because of how Circles is implemented, is more difficult, I think, on Google Plus.
You also discover things you don't know about the friends you already have. And one of the things I like about Facebook is, you know, if I say I bought a new wristwatch, I don't have to decide whether or not the people I'm communicating with like wristwatches or not. And the people I'm sharing with will include everybody from people I met when I was a toddler to people I met last week. And I might get enthusiasm about wristwatches from all kinds of people, including people I didn't expect. And, right. And to some degree, you know, Circles tends to assume you want to drill down to certain people in the first place. And I sort of like the fact that Facebook is like a kind of messy party. And you can use Google Plus like that. I should say that you can share everything publicly if you want. And right. It will be intriguing to see whether people tend to do that or whether people do use Circles in the way they're intended.
Yeah, I mean, I sense that... I mean, it's hard to know who's sharing privately on Google Plus because it's by definition private. But, like, almost everything that I see on the network and everything that I've shared is public. And the few times that I've used it to share something in a way that I wasn't sharing on Facebook or Twitter, I've done it just for a kind of a couple features. One is that I like it has nice threaded conversations, and it kind of looks better to write a long paragraph of something on, or several paragraphs on Google Plus than it does on Facebook. I think that you can probably get longer, deeper conversations on Google Plus, and I've seen that happen, mm-hmm. Than you can on Facebook. So that's, I think that's one plus, but I also don't know if that's something people really want in social networking, or it's certainly not something they've sort of been conditioned to want from Facebook, from their use of Facebook.
No, I mean, I think tech geeks want that, and I'm
yeah.
Right now I'm engaging in some cool conversations, and sort of the quality and quantity is both impressive for the number of people I'm engaging with on Google Plus. It's way better than Facebook, and it's also better than Twitter, which we should talk about a little bit before we're done with this. But I'm not clear whether that will last, and I'm not clear how many people want to do that or not. I think one of the reasons that Twitter is less huge than Facebook is because the subset of people who want to have somewhat deeper conversations online is relatively small.
Right. Well, maybe we should talk about both Facebook and Twitter. Like, first, well, with respect to each of them, let's start with Facebook. Should Facebook be scared, do you think, of Google Plus?
I think they should be interested, and I'm sure they are. I mean, I think this is the closest thing we've had since Twitter to something that can scale up to the same size as Facebook, partially because they are Google, and now that they've finally come up with something that might be interesting to a lot of people, they have a huge opportunity to do stuff they haven't quite done yet with Google Plus in terms of linking it up with the rest of Google. But right now, it's almost a self-contained world, and I'm sure you'll see tighter integration with search, so that if you search on Google, they will somehow divert you into Google Plus at every opportunity, and it'll be interesting to see if they can do that in a way that's not annoying.
Right.
I mean, thinking back, obviously there are any number of instances in the history of technology where one big thing has been replaced by another big thing, or at least the new thing has presented serious competition. But I think that almost always involves the old thing screwing up. And so far, Facebook, more than most tech companies, tends to screw up on a fairly regular basis in terms of privacy and usability. But they're also really good at recovering very quickly.
Yeah.
So far they haven't done anything that's just going to kill them. But I think from now on they have a little bit less room to be sloppy and to tick people off than they did, because if Google Plus is a viable alternative and starts to get some momentum, Facebook has to be a little bit more careful. I would expect you would see both of these services rip off each other's features on a regular basis, in the same way that web browsers or email programs or word processors do.
That's a good point. I mean, I think that this competition is going to be, ultimately a value to all of us who use social networks, because, I think that one of the major frustrations people have with Facebook is that Facebook seems to sort of act like a imperialist empire.
Totally.
They just kind of move into a new space, they dominate it, and they they change the rules willy-nilly. There's no democracy here. Mark Zuckerberg does what he wants, and there's no kind of asking first. They they do something, and then they beg for forgiveness later. I think this is good. If they worry, as you say, if they worry that Google Plus is something that people could move to, they might be more careful, and I think that's would be a great thing for Facebook. But the other point that you made was that these networks can rip each other's features off, and I think that Facebook, we already saw Facebook engineers created this thing called Circle Hack, which I thought was great because it allows you to, it presents your Facebook lists in Google Plus's in a Google Plus like interface. And it makes it easier to manage your Facebook lists. And I bet somebody at Facebook is working on a way to make managing those lists easier, even if it's not a feature that hundreds of millions of people will use. It is something that they can present as kind of a defense to Google Plus, and I bet they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, Well, Google Plus does have some cool stuff like Hangouts, which is video chat for up to 10 people. I mean, I do like it. There's nothing transcendently superior about it, except for the quality of the people there. And ultimately, the quality of the people in any social network is determined by who signs up and who their friends are and their degree of success in convincing their friends to use it. So to some degree, it's a little bit out of the control of the networks, and people will decide which one does better.
And as you mentioned earlier, if Google Plus grows to Facebook-like proportions, then the quality would ultimately match Facebook's quality in terms of the kind of people there and the kinds of conversations they have.
I mean, I think there's another scenario, which is that Google Plus turns out to be the Bing of social networking. Microsoft's Bing is dramatically smaller than Google's search engine, and it's probably not going to catch up ever. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Microsoft doing it is basically helpful to the world, because I think Google is moving a little bit more quickly because Microsoft is a company with significant resources and has put together a pretty good search engine in Bing.
Right.
And so if all Google Plus is a significantly smaller social network that's pretty good and pretty popular, I think that's good for competition too, even if it's not something that gets to 750 million users.
Well, but that brings up a good question, which is, I think the joke of the tech industry is that Microsoft has spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on its web division and on search engines, and doesn't make any money on it. I don't think that that's, you know, Google is that kind of company sometimes, but I think it always sort of sees a long-term future and a long-term goal. And I don't think its goal is to be kind of second fiddle and just, you know, be a worthy competitor to Facebook. And I wonder what it thinks is kind of the ultimate achievable goal here. I mean, Google is an ambitious company. I bet they think that they can win here. But if they don't win, I wonder, you know, I wonder what their kind of second prize, their willing to settle for prize is. Because, I guess they could make, they could get a lot of page views and make a lot of money here from ads, but that doesn't seem like, you know, they do that anyway, and I don't know. It doesn't seem like, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's very surprising because Google is not the kind of company, this is one of the first times they've kind of just played catch up. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to know what they'll do if they play catch up and they don't win. Because this is just sort of new territory for Google.
Well, yeah, I guess one question is to define winning. And up until now, I've been thinking winning is having the most people.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would assume that Google is pretty happy with where Gmail is, and Gmail is still significantly smaller than Hotmail or Yahoo Mail in terms of number of people. But right. in terms of sophisticated tech users, Gmail is clearly much more popular. And maybe there's a scenario under which Google Plus is fewer people, but they're hipper people, and they're better people to advertise to with little Google ads.
Right. That's possible. So Twitter now. We saw just this past week Google and Twitter were kind of engaged in a small public relations spat over the speed of how quickly the network are growing, and mm-hmm. I bet that Twitter is feeling kind of left out of this, Google versus Facebook fight, because Twitter, you know, until recently was seen as, you know, the potential alternative to Facebook. Although I think most people use it, you know, most people who use Twitter also use Facebook. But I wonder what you think Google Plus means for Twitter.
Well, I mean, Twitter has been that smaller social network that people who are kind of sophisticated about technology really like a lot. And so there's probably a scenario under which Google Plus takes over that. And so far with me, I've been using Google Plus primarily as a Twitter substitute rather than a Facebook substitute. And at least right
well,
now...
Well, explain that. How do you use it as a Twitter substitute? I mean, why would you put something on Google Plus rather than Twitter in a particular instance?
Well, you know, for me, Twitter is a place where I go to share stuff, sometimes from my own website or something I've written, and sometimes other stuff, and talk about it with other people, including both people I know pretty well and people I don't know. And Google Plus is also really good at that. I mean, it's arguably better at that. Twitter has moved really slowly in terms of things like embedding videos and photos and making it easy to work with links. And they made some progress in recent months, but Google Plus is certainly a richer experience.
And the other thing about Twitter is that, you know, this is something that people, most Twitter fans, hold up as the holy grail, the reason that they love Twitter. But it's something that it seems obviously a shortcoming in comparison to Google Plus, which is the 140 character limit.
Right.
Like, the reason people have deeper conversations on Google Plus is that you can write paragraphs, and many people, I mean, nobody who writes on Google Plus, it seems like people who write there are writing long messages, or at least several sentence long messages. I don't see kind of 3-word status updates on Google Plus.
That's right. I mean, in theory, Twitter originally was about telling people where you were and what you were doing, and some people do that, but it's sort of turned into a conversational mode, and Google Plus, I mean, it's much easier to read a conversation on Google Plus than on Twitter in terms of seeing how it's threaded and following the back and forth. Oddly enough, I'm probably doing about 200 characters on Google Plus. I like the freedom to talk a little bit more length, but I'm not abusing it, and I'm still kind of scared of boring people. I like the 140 character limit on Twitter just because I think it forces people to be disciplined and get to the point. And And if Google Plus turns into a place where people do 2,000 words, that's not necessarily a good thing. It might be that people tend to blather in a way that is impossible to do on Twitter.
Maybe we should have a new social network that has a 240 character limit.
Yeah, that would be just about perfect.
Right. So the thing that we should, I guess, talk about last is kind of what happens to Google Plus next. You know, it's not open publicly yet,
no.
But they're letting people in very quickly, and I wonder how you think it'll change, let's say, in the next few months, and then, you know, over even a longer period.
Well, I mean, I think Google has to pour resources into this thing. It has to change really rapidly, because Facebook has such a track record of changing rapidly, and so the way they stack up today doesn't mean that much long term. It's how rapidly they change and how good a job they do of continuing to be appealing. And there's such a long list of things that Google has not done but can do and should do in terms of integrating this experience with Gmail and search and maps and their mobile applications and sites, and we'll have to see how rapidly they do that and how Facebook responds. And the other thing I think we just need to keep an eye on is when normal people start to come in, whether they like it and whether it becomes something that, you know, my friends and relatives who are not within the tech bubble at all are excited about or not. And
yeah.
I'm counting you as being in the tech bubble if you're passionately interested in this stuff, even if it's not something you're doing professionally.
Right. No, I agree. I think that, I mean, who knows, but my feeling is that when people come over to Google Plus for the first time, they're going to feel a little bit it's a little too much work. Like, I've heard this comment from you know, friends who are not in the tech industry, who like technology, but who, you know, who got into Google Plus in the last few days, that it seems like a little like the first thing you do, you're asked to do there is kind of set up groups, and it seems like a little too much of a chore. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, I wonder if people will come up with tools. I mean, I bet people will come up with tools that will allow you to kind of more easily migrate your Facebook presence over to Google Plus. I know that Facebook wouldn't love that, but I bet that there are going to sort of be easier ways to do that. That'll kind of ease the path. And the other thing you mentioned was Google integrating this with search. I think that if they do that, another kind of potential prize here would be, you know, if Google Plus takes off, and if Google Plus kind of is something that comes to dominate or at least be ranked highly in Google search results, Facebook is going to feel pressure, I think, to allow its network to be more integrated into Google,
right,
the way that they've licensed their network, you know, their content over to Bing. So right now you can get, when you search Bing, you get a lot of kind of Facebook content and information. You know, you get content based on what your friends have shared on Facebook, but they haven't made that deal with Google. And I think maybe if, you know, Google Plus's success could prod them that way.
We'll see. I mean, Microsoft owns a small chunk of Facebook, which about years ago, and people said that it overpaid years ago for the small chunk of Facebook, but I think it was a great deal because it means, you know, from the get-go that Microsoft and Facebook are going to be allies, and it's a whole different decision for Facebook if it shares stuff with Google, who really is evolving into its arch rival. It'll be interesting to see what Google does with integration, because already people are asking whether there are any anti-competition issues with Google diverting people to other Google services or not. And it's going to have to walk a little bit of a tightrope walk probably as it figures this out. And also, it's in some cases, it's not clear whether people want integration. When they launched Google Buzz a little bit over a year ago, the killer feature of Google Buzz was supposed to be that it was integrated into your Gmail, and it let you do Twitter-type stuff with the people you talk to in Gmail.
Yeah.
And it turned out almost instantly that people don't want that, that the people you like to hang out with in social networks and your contacts and your email are not the same group of people. And so it died almost instantly because of that. And so that the stuff is not going to be easy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've noticed is, so I use Picasa, Google's photo sharing system, often. But I used to share photos with other people only through email. I mean, I would send Picasa links through email. And now Picasa wants me, you know, its default option is to share through Google Plus, but most of the people I want to share with aren't on Google Plus. And I, when it presented me with that dialogue, I kind of resented it. You know, it's sort of Google kind of trying to direct me to its new social network, even though, you know, I might not be interested in using that service. And I think that's the kind of thing that it has to kind of tread lightly about, because you know, this is exactly the sort of thing that regulators are looking into. The way that Google kind of seems more and more these days to be launching new things and then using its dominant web presence to direct you to new things. I mean, I think I have said before, and I think that there shouldn't be kind of a I think that, you know, antitrust investigations in the tech industry sort of are inherently kind of a bad idea, because mm-hmm. they move much more slowly than the actual technology does. But it still seems that there's a pretty good there. Google is you know, not acting gingerly here, not acting the way that, you know, you would expect it would after being you know, on the defensive.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Google Plus in its current form is really only about 55% of the baseline of what you want, and they do say it's in a field test, and they haven't let everybody in. And yeah. I'll be curious to see where it sort of gets to 100% of the minimum required features, and whether that involves a lot of integration, whether the integration works for people.
One of the bigger questions here is, you know, so Larry Page, the new CEO of Google, from what I know, has made social, Google's getting big and social kind of one of the main goals of his tenure and mm-hmm. of the company now. He wants Google to be, you know, very competitive with Facebook. And I just wonder what you think about, I wonder whether you think that's a good idea, whether Google needs, does Google need Google Plus to succeed to be, you know, a successful company? It seems to me, and, you know, Google executives I spoke to before Google Plus launch were making this argument, which I thought was a good one, which is that even if Facebook continues to grow, Google will still have a great search business. No one's using social networking to kind of search for everyday things that we search for. Facebook is going to sort of dominate perhaps the banner ad business, but Google has a pretty good business in that anyway, and it's not going to sort of be, you know, Facebook is not going to kill Google's banner ad business. I wonder if you think that, you know, that this level of attention to Facebook as a rival, whether you think that's kind of warranted for Google.
I think it's healthy paranoia. I mean, right now, Google is a far more solid business than Facebook and makes far more money. But I think the thing that's probably on their minds is what if we get to the point where the primary interface to the internet for people isn't searching? It's asking their friends and other people in their network for stuff. Because right now, yeah. You know, Google, when you want to know something, you go to the google.com homepage. If you want driving directions, you go to Google Maps or something like that and you search. It's always about searching these massive databases of information. And Google has done more of that more effectively than anybody else. But they don't dominate collecting people up into networks. Facebook dominates that. And the nightmare scenario is, what if Facebook gets really good at leveraging that to the point where when you want to know something, you go to Facebook, you don't go to Google? And that might be years away if that happens, so I think it's reasonable of Google to be worrying about it now before it happens rather than after it happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm glad they're, you know, devoting attention to this. I'm skeptical that it's their biggest threat. I feel like it's going to be a long time, and probably never, that I'll go to the web expecting some useful information and kind of think about asking people on Facebook or Twitter first before asking Google. I mean, there are some instances where I do that, but I think the vast majority of instances is I when I'm searching for a product or I'm searching for directions or reviews of a restaurant nearby, Google is where I go. I think one of the things I worry about is with Google devoting so much attention to and so much of its sort of capacity to this problem, to beating Facebook, I wonder if it's sort of not working on the next new big thing, or devoting fewer resources, which I think is the point, the purpose of Google. Like, it's sort of the innovative heart of Silicon Valley, or it has become that way in the last 5 years, 5-10 years. And I think that, like, I worry that it's playing catch up here is not kind of the healthiest thing for the company.
It's a little bit reminiscent of Microsoft in the mid-90s when Netscape came along, and yeah. Microsoft thought, Netscape is incredibly popular, and it's actually a threat to Windows if people start to build their life around Netscape rather than Windows. And, Microsoft poured immense resources into combating Netscape. It got into deep legal trouble combating Netscape. You can argue that all the stuff Microsoft did wasn't all that effective because, Netscape made a lot of mistakes on its own, and some of Microsoft's worst fears didn't come true. But on the other hand, if some of the stuff I think Microsoft was worried about in 1995 actually is starting to come true only today in terms of people living inside their browser rather than any particular operating system. And I think it was not unreasonable of Microsoft to be worried about this stuff. It's just that it might take 15 years before some of the things that Google is worried about now pan out.
Right. But on the other hand, if Microsoft hadn't worked to beat Netscape, Netscape might be the browser we use now, but Microsoft might still be the operating system that people are thinking of as kind of the next big operating system,
right.
The mobile operating system. But Microsoft, didn't work on a mobile OS. It didn't work on a phone operating system, or it didn't work on a great one. It didn't see kind of the threat of a company like Apple or technology like that coming along to dominate mobile devices. These were Microsoft's problems, and I'm not saying Google will make those mistakes, but I think it's sort of indicative of, working on one problem while missing a bigger opportunity. I think Google, Google is a smarter company than that. I'm not saying it's going to sort of fall into those traps, and I think it sort of learns from lessons of tech history. But it just doesn't seem like a great way to spend this many resources, from what I know, on another social network. It seems like a small innovative thing. It's not going to change sort of the tech industry in a very fundamental way. And that's why, that's why I'm not thrilled either way. To me, actually, it doesn't seem a very consequential thing either way, whether Facebook or Google Plus dominate social networking. Whatever works,
mm-hmm.
But it's not going to sort of make my life easier in any appreciable manner.
I do think it's kind of interesting that the name of this thing is Google Plus. I think that sort of suggests how high Google thinks the stakes are, and they're kind of saying this is the future of Google.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you're right. I mean, there's nothing radically new about Google Plus. This is not going to be the thing we live our life in from here on out, and it's not anything like the original Google back in 1998, where you only had to use it a little bit before you understood that it did represent fundamental change in terms of how quickly you could get high quality information from the internet.
Right.
And that was back when, search engines existed, and Alta Vista was really popular, and Google was 50 times better than Alta Vista. And Google Plus certainly is not 50 times better than Facebook, even if it does have some attractions.
Right. I mean, it's, I guess it's hard for a big company like that to work to build, you know, the next thing that's going to be 50 times better than the current thing. But it's kind of what I expect of Google. It's kind of like what they've set themselves up to do. And, you know, they definitely are working on those kinds of things, you know, the translation, speech recognition, those, you know, the self-driving car, those kinds of far-off things are in the works. I don't think they've abandoned them to work on a better social network, but I wonder, you know, I wonder what the company is kind of losing because of this focus.
It'll be fun to watch. I mean, I think 2 years from now, assuming Google Plus is still around, the stuff we're talking about today may be a, kind of a small part of what it turned out to be.
Yeah.
Right now, they're just getting their toe in the water without getting in trouble. And for Google, that's an accomplishment given how many social networks they've come up with where either they flopped immediately or Google didn't put in, invest enough in them, because essentially Google had some of the seeds of Facebook and Twitter and stuff they built or acquired before those services became popular, and they didn't realize it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, really, people's expectations for Google and social networking are so low at, up until Google Plus that it wasn't hard for them to exceed expectations. And the question is, once you've done that, what's next?
Right. Well, I guess we'll see. I guess maybe we should, I don't know if we should end with predictions, but I will go out on a limb and say I don't think Google Plus is going to be a Facebook killer. Really going out on a limb there.
I mean, my guess, and I may well be completely wrong, is that 2 years from now, Google Plus will be quite popular, but it will still be a fairly distant number two to Facebook.
Yeah.
And also, it's entirely possible that 2 years from now, a couple of Stanford students will have invented something that's more exciting than Facebook or Google Plus in a lot of ways, because it's, in some level, it's a lot easier to build something radically new when you have no resources than when you have immense resources.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Alrighty.
I will see you on Google Plus.
Sounds great. See you there, and talk to you soon.
All right. Bye bye.
Take care.